You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, May 10th, 2022. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, in anticipation of reactions to the greatest rollback of individual rights in this country's history, the Senate passes a bill to expand police protection for our Supreme Court justices.
And their families.
And their fams. As Republicans begin open talk of federal ban on abortion, another conservative leak coming from the Supreme Court this weekend. Joe Biden calls for an immediate passage for Ukrainian aid, leaving domestic COVID aid orphaned. Meanwhile, Russia pounds Odessa and hits Western weapons supply lines. Finland and Sweden will decide on joining NATO this week. And welcome to the latest Florida Ron DeSantis law. Teachers are required to teach 45 minutes of material on Victims of Communism Day.
Oh.
New document trove shows one particular opioid maker cultivated hundreds of pill mill doctors. Democrats in Texas accuse Greg Abbott of diverting COVID funds to border crackdown. And a major baby formula shortage has hit the U.S. Lastly, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. wins the Filipino presidency with Duterte's daughter riding shotgun as VP. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. It is, of course, Tuesday.
Newsday Tuesday.
Newsday Tuesday. And
you guys act surprised as I say this every Tuesday. I hope we realize that, right?
That, well, every day you make it anew. Emma Vigeland
is
here.
Oh. I'm dressed as like a 50s diner owner today, I feel like.
A 50s diner?
Right? Like, I just realized I was like looking at my shirt in the camera. Like, it's like I'm kind of dressed like Biff from Back to the Future or something like that.
And wearing an apron, which is kind of weird.
I do that every day, Bradley.
There you go. Well,
don't tell people
about
that.
It's a new era, and so
I have to wear an apron because I cook for everybody in the studio. I'm required.
I was adjusting to the new Supreme Court.
Exactly. That's right. We're just not going to feel comfortable unless we have a kitchen around here so that Emma could just jump in every now and then.
In and out, right.
Yeah, and that way.
The pie cooling on the windowsill.
This will be funny for another couple of weeks until it's not. We've got a lot to talk about in terms of, basically the stage we're at now is how is this ruling going to be interpreted? And not by other courts or not by states that have passed these bans. We know that. We're talking politically. And so there are a couple of areas where you must pay attention to what different cohorts within our little, arena of politics, how they are referring to this. Because, look, the bottom line, and I think people who listen to this show understand this, But the vast majority of Americans do not pay much attention to politics whatsoever. If I was not aware of this, I would have assumed that there would be this massive outcry on this leaked brief. But the fact is that most people are not paying attention to it. They're certainly not going to pay attention to it until it becomes a Supreme Court ruling. And even then, I don't know what percentage will. We do know that something like 69, 70% of the population believes that Roe v. Wade should not be overturned. And by all accounts, it's going to be. So the question is at least in terms of the short term, will the Democrats take advantage of the fact that the Republican Party has finally succeeded after a 50-year 50-year, I mean, 50-year is, I think, is accurate. A 50-year, maybe it's a little bit less, actually. I mean, remember, abortion was not a partisan issue until Bob Jones University was threatened with losing its tax status under the Carter administration because they would not allow black students to date white students. And therefore, they were not allowed to have a tax-exempt status. And it was out of that anger that I think it was Paul Weyrich and other members of Christian conservatives and other Republican operatives got together and tried to figure out what issue could they rally evangelicals around to get them more involved in politics. Jimmy Carter was a reborn Christian. And evangelicals up to that point largely abided by the scripture that says, you know, leave unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. In other words, we don't engage in the profane world of politics. And then the Republicans and
the Reagan campaign
evangelical
cemented it too.
Well, this was before that, actually.
I guess when you say 50 years, I kind of did the math wrong. Like, it's next year, it's 50 years to the year that Roe was decided.
Yeah, this is 76.
Yeah.
Really, around that time. And 76, 77 is, I think, when they first got together. And they decided upon abortion as the issue. And so since that time, there has been a long slog, and we are just about there. This is the Republican Party. This is not a wing of the Republican Party. This is not a rump of the Republican Party. These are not, you know, people who have parachuted in to the inside and infiltrating the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party. So when the leader of the opposition to the Republican Party gets up and does not seem to understand this time and time and time again, and refuses to acknowledge this is who the Republican Party is.
It's as foundational as anything to the Republican Party anti-abortion issue, as anything, as tax cuts. That's how up there it is.
And refuses to acknowledge this.
Yeah.
And then sends the message. Remember now, the leader of the Democratic Party should be saying, we need Democrats. What could possibly step on that message? We need Democrats. The most important thing is we need more Democrats in office. Here is the leader of the Democratic Party.
I mean, the fossil fuel industry is... they weigh in so significantly. I mean, how could it be that nobody on the Senate side cares, and the Senate cares about climate? Some of them do, and they talk about it. When it comes to the votes, it just isn't there. They're just aren't there. So rather than saying, well, we have to defeat them, no, let's just try to persuade them. I want the Republican Party to take back the party. Take it back to where you were, where you cared about a woman's right to choose, and you cared about the environment. And all. Here I am, Nancy Pelosi, saying this country needs a strong Republican Party, and we do. Not a cult, but a strong Republican Party.
Okay, now, the applause she's getting because is from, of course, this room full of activists who are fighting the good... Oh, no, I'm sorry. She was at the Aspen Ideas Festival in Miami.
Which, can you explain that part? I thought it was in Aspen.
Well, they have to, you know.
No, the ideas are like a peak, like a mountain. But then you want to be warm and have fun. Right.
Right. Emma's tweet.
I aggregated this last night. I mean, this is from 2016, the first one. One of my prayers is that Republicans will take back their party. The country needs a strong Republican Party. September 2020. My apologies, not 2016. September 2021. I say to my Republican friends, take back your party. This country needs a big, strong Republican Party. And I say that as the leader of the Democratic Party. Don't have to be a cult of personality on the extreme, extreme right. That's almost verbatim what she said there. From February 2022, take back your party from this cult. Take back your party. America needs a strong Republican Party and a strong Democratic Party, etc. And then I put up her quote from yesterday. So, she was due, right? It's been like 3 months since she last said this quote. So she had to do it. And you know what this illustrates to me, though, really quickly? Because she's saying the same freaking thing that she says every time when she's talking about Republicans is they don't even have a rhetorical strategy on abortion. If she's using the same stuff she's been using since
for every other
Republican issue, let alone a legislative strategy, they've got nothing. Rhetorically, even when this is the biggest gimme, which is so popular, a woman's right to choose in this country, and you're just going to use this. Let's go back to plan A. I've got nothing else.
And let's be clear on this, right? I'm going to try and like get into the mind of who it is. I mean, of what the agenda is here. Who is it that she thinks she's reaching? Like, I get it. Like, we want to convince some of those suburban voters that the Republican Party is bad, but we don't want Nancy to be, you know, partisan when she's delivering this. What Republican voter in the entire country?
Yeah.
What person who has ever voted for a Republican one time in their life is taking their cues from Nancy Pelosi, who is short of Hillary Clinton, whether you like Nancy Pelosi or not? What person who has ever voted Republican is going to take their cues from perhaps the most demonized Democratic politician in our lifetime aside from Hillary Clinton?
Are you saying that the guy sharing memes on Facebook about how the Jews control the media is going to be not going to be persuaded by her saying this every 2 or 3 months?
I'm saying that even that guy's mom and dad, who were like, well, Johnny's a little bit crazy, but we, you know, ever since he left the suburbs, even that mom.
We agree about Pelosi.
Yeah, we agree about Pelosi. We just
all agree on that.
You can say it in a better tone. And then put that aside. There's no efficacy for what she's doing, even if there is some direct. It is stepping on the message. Well, even before we get to the message part, let's just look at the rationality. There is no Republican Party to take the Republican Party back. Who is that person?
Yeah.
Steve Schmidt just outlined that John McCain, the single most obvious, like, you know, a masturbatory dream of the maverick Republican who is not on board with this stuff, was completely on board with this stuff, or completely feckless in it.
She thinks they look at their base the way she looks at hers. Like, take the party back. No, like, they're using those people to get power, Nancy.
And there's no daylight between these people. Half of those, you know, that would have been the dynamic 20 years ago. The dynamic today is, they're the top fundraiser in the House,
yeah,
in Marjorie Taylor Greene. They are the one. They are the presidential candidates in 2024, unless Donald Trump runs. There is no Republican Party to take back the Republican Party. That does not exist. That is a fantasy, and it's not only ineffective with the people that she only. I can only imagine she thinks it's. It is horribly damaging to the message that we are in a crisis. And when they go out and campaign for Henry Cuellar, they are doing the exact same thing.
When she says we need to persuade the Republican Party, how do you get, how do you persuade another party to join your side? You beat them.
No persuading of parties. That's the whole point.
Yes. How do you work in politics for decades and not understand it's about power? It's about power.
They think they're being clever, and the bottom line is they're not. They're being stupid and incompetent. I wonder if there's like a member of the DNC. There's like 500 members of the DNC. One of them could sue her for just blatant malpractice.
Yeah.
We're trying to win an election here.
It's just unbelievable. Like, who? It is so self-serving.
Yeah.
It is just so that she is seen as being like some type of responsible to a group of people who would never vote for Republicans anyways, and who like to delude themselves that, you know, well, there's always a chance that they'll be nice to us because maybe the real Republicans will come back. They're all hiding. They're all hiding in the cloakroom until, of course, they come out when the guns go away and then pretend they weren't hiding.
And I'm a Democrat saying this. It's like, yeah, we know. That's all Democrats have been saying my entire life.
Yeah. I know. I mean, the supposed benefit of having someone who's so senior, and I'm not just meaning her age, but in the amount of time that she's been in Congress, in government, is that, okay, you have some knowledge base and build and an understanding of what you're dealing with. Accumulation of an understanding of her opponent from the Clinton era, none from the Obama era, none from the Trump era. And we're just pretending and spouting out ahistorical nonsense about one of the maybe top five foundational issues about the Republican Party: tax cuts for the rich, deregulation, and anti-choice, and racist policies. Those are like that. That's the top four. That's the top four.
She is only appealing to Chuck Todd and that ilk. Where it's like, Chuck, you know I'm reasonable. I've actually called for the I was the one who stood in the way of George Bush's impeachment. I am the one who really feels it's important that we have a strong Republican Party. Like, gimme, God.
Oh, I forgot about the George Bush impeachment thing. Jesus. All right. Like,
folks,
I can't wait for her to say that same quote in like 4 months.
Do the same segment.
What's it going to be? What's it going to be about?
We got a. I am tempted to read the sponsorship in the way that Nancy Pelosi would. I'm going to do that. So, folks, if you got a small business, as you know, inflation's not doing any favors right now. Harder than ever to stay profitable. If you're looking for a way to cut costs, mailing and shipping is a great way to start. Use stamps.com to mail and ship and get access to exclusive discounts and great rates on shipping from USPS and UPS. Now, I know, of course, it's really important people pay full price for all these things. That's really important. We all want to pay full price. And I say this as someone who actually doesn't like to pay full price for things.
There's a whole constituency of people out there who want to pay more for their stamps.
Yes.
And we just have to persuade them that paying more for stamps is better than paying less.
Yes, of course. Now, unfortunately for those people, stamps.com gets you discounts you can't find anywhere else. You get 30% off of U.S. Postal Service rates 86% off of UPS rates. Now, I know that seems extreme.
That's from the radical left, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar, I don't associate with them.
Stamps.com seamlessly works with Shopify, Amazon, Etsy, eBay, all of your online sales things. Now, I know we do still need a strong contingent of mailing services that don't integrate with any other products and make it super inconvenient for you. With Stamps.com, all you need is your regular computer and printer. You don't need any special supplies or equipment. But of course, we still need some type of stamp services out there where you have to go and buy special equipment.
Yeah.
And it has to be incredibly inconvenient. And Stamps.com, 24/7. You wake up at 2 in the morning, you want to put stamps on your envelopes or your packages, whatnot, just go on your computer and do it. But that doesn't mean that we don't want the ability for people to have to leave their home at 3 in the morning, search around wherever they live, travel miles and miles and miles, and go pay full price for their stamps.
You know, if we have to allow for 24/7 service in this instance with stamps.com, then people are going to realize we could do 24/7 services for other things as well.
That's right. And that's dangerous.
That's scary.
Look, start mailing and shipping with stamps.com. Keep more money in your pocket every day. Sign up with promo code Majority Report for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code Majority Report. Can only imagine how they're going to feel about that, Reed. But
actually, they might convenient. Like it because we integrated convenient. It into it's the very, context of the show.
Yeah, I don't know if we should do that with Aura. No, I mean, it's really important that when people go online, they feel completely insecure about their online identity. It's so important that when you transact businesses online, you feel like there's a good chance that your social security number will be stolen and someone will open up a bank account or, you know, a credit line in your name or steal stuff from your bank account. We know how important that is. However, Aura.com/majority, where you can get a free trial, can protect you from such things. Do you know what the fastest growing crime in America is? Well, if you've heard me do this ad before, you do. But a lot of people don't realize it. Crime rate of this crime has been surging and affecting millions of Americans. I just got actually a message from the building. They did a PSA about online and phone scam calls.
Really?
Yes. Apparently it's been, I don't know why the building would do it, but that's what they did. Identity theft. It happens to 1 in 20 Americans. And despite this, you get your identity stolen. You're shocked when it happens. I didn't think it would happen to me. Just think about this. You'll try and log into your email account one day. The password seems to be changed. That's weird. Then you start getting notifications of activity from your bank, your credit cards, your crypto accounts, whatever. And that's, of course, when you start to have feelings of panic, fear, anxiety, paranoia, disbelief, shock, anger, and frustration, and guilt then sets in. Like it's your fault. Well, that's why I'm excited to partner with Aura, who is sponsoring this video. Aura is identity theft protection, fraud monitoring, a VPN, password management, and antivirus software all combined into one easy-to-use app. Aura monitors the dark web for your emails, passwords, and social security numbers and sends alerts fast right to your phone and email. When it comes to fraud, every second matters. You connect to credit and bank accounts and get notified of any changes up to 4 times faster than Aura's competitors. Their VPN allows you to stay anonymous online by keeping your browsing history and personal information safe and encrypted. Their antivirus software will block malware and viruses before they infect your devices. The password management has been a blessing to me. Huge. And I'm going through and seeing all my emails where the passwords have been stolen. Like, services I signed up for like ages ago, I never even remembered. You can protect you and your family from America's fastest growing crime. Try Aura free for 2 weeks. See if any of you or your family's personal information has been compromised. You'll see it as soon as you sign into that with the email. They'll just pop it up for you. You can start your free trial at Aura, A-U-R-A, A-U-R-A, Aura.com/majority.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi drives me crazy. So here's the, apparently the idea. Chuck Schumer is going to bring a vote to the floor. It is passed in the House. It is essentially to protect a woman's right to choose. And look, we did this with the Voting Rights Act. And I don't think that it particularly resonated. I don't know the value of this. You really can't assess it until you are at an election. And supposedly, like, you know, if I'm running against, let's say, Ron Johnson in Wisconsin, who is not polling very well, he is in danger. Whichever candidate I am, the primary is happening relatively soon, I would vote to support a woman's right to choose. What about you, Ron Johnson? You voted against it. If you're in New Hampshire, you're Maggie Hassan, you can take that vote. If you're Catherine Cortez Masto, you can take that vote. You can challenge your opponent. Would you have taken that vote? This is going to help maybe Fetterman in Pennsylvania, assuming he wins, which it looks like he will. Tim Ryan going up against J.D. Vance. This is going to be a big issue. Here is Chuck Schumer, also feckless in every other way.
Because for the first time in 50 years, women in America face the real possibility of living in a world where the protections of Roe v. Wade are a thing of the past. It will set up a situation where our children, women children, female children, have less rights than their grandparents, something that is so un-American, taking away rights, stepping backward on rights in such a dramatic way.
Pause it for a second. Hold on. Could we just pause it? Because I feel like my heart's racing and my heart's pounding. The drama associated with the loss, like the rollback of rights after 50 years, as Schumer seems so passionate about this. And he is really communicating the just how incredibly unprecedented this is, how dramatic, what it says that we are turning half our citizens into second-class citizens. And that this is just the beginning of this onslaught as well.
Schumer speaks for me.
Oh my God!
I there's no one better.
Sorry, I had to take a break because it was just too intense. Man, the emotion pouring out of him. Continue.
So tonight I will set up a vote for Wednesday on legislation that will codify the fundamental right to an abortion into federal law. Every American is going to see where every senator stands on protecting one of the most important rights a woman has regarding her own body. I want to be clear. This week's vote is not an abstract exercise. This is as real and as high stakes as it gets. And Senate Republicans will no longer be able to hide from the horror they've unleashed upon women in America.
I mean, can we compare that rabble-rousing sidewinder of a speech to maybe like when he was announcing, the Do Not Call registry legislation or
banning powdered alcohol or something? Like
yes,
that.
Yeah, like
or
yeah,
that
yeah.
That weird, you know, anti-China bill that he was pushing for years and years.
Or just like he loves to do like we're taking care of like the new seatbelt that cuts into your shoulder in the back seat law that it's going to mandate that there's a soft felt piece of on the shoulder, and this is an outrage. Like, I mean, my God. Get somebody else to do it. Say that you can't make it to the floor that day. Get somebody.
Get an activist.
Female,
senator.
Show some.
Have Gillibrand do it. I don't care.
Have somebody who's going to put an ounce of, you know, ability to communicate the stakes that are associated with this.
Yeah, they're just going through the motions.
How can the value of the vote, how can the vote have any value as a messaging tool if you announce it like you're basically going through, this is like the... And also, the commissary will not be open on Wednesday from the hours of 12 to 2 because we are getting the delivery of the pudding desserts that members had asked for. However, it's going to involve shutting down the kitchen because Johnny has to take the day off because his child has a dentist appointment, and that's also very important. Moving on to new business. I mean, honestly, it's just like...
It also really bugs me, this sort of like the progress myth that's inherent in what he says there, that we've never gone backwards as a country, which is would be news to, like, say, black people who lived through the 18th century and see, like, the increasing power of slave owners roll back their ability to own property to the point where they're on the run to the north. Like we do go backwards in this country. Unions have gone backwards in this country.
We go backwards, without a doubt. But this is the first time there has ever been an established right. We go retrograde all the time in our politics and in practice. But this is the first time that you've had a right established for 50 years, and it's being taken away.
Yeah.
The right to vote was abridged, although, you know, we know that that 13th Amendment was laden with holes in it so that you could use surrogate ways of disenfranchising black people. But this is the first time that we have ever had. This would be like not abridging the right to vote. This would be basically saying
states can decide if you can vote or
you
not.
You cannot vote. Yeah. There is no federal right to vote.
Yeah. I grant that in terms of policy. I just think like there's this idea that Democrats, like, the reason that they're not grasping the moment is they don't understand that we are going backwards in a lot of ways. It's not just this.
Yes.
But they do understand it. It's just that they don't think it works to – they just are under this the impression that as a political matter, it's – you don't want to say that.
Well, they don't – they
only speak to it in emails.
They don't treat it with urgency because they have an understand. It is the progress myth that Matt is saying, because they feel that, all right, well, it might be taken away in these red states, but we don't really have a democratic infrastructure there anyway. And, like, we're focused on the suburbs and the swing states where we can make some
gains. And we're
going to
make some good trouble there. And it's just like, no, you're feckless.
Right. And the point is that, yes, without, like, an actual response here, this leaves open space for a federal ban in 2024. If Biden runs again, I have a lot of fears about him losing. That's what this allows for. And so, like, it's just performative. They can't be seen as doing nothing, so they're doing this. At least put some spice on it, though.
Yeah. It's a poor performance.
I mean, frankly, I understand he's leader, but, like, he should probably have a little bit more humility and have a woman speak on this.
Yeah, and also neither of these people should be leader anymore anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless of this issue. Pelosi and Schumer have, like, way past their expiration date.
Yep.
Let's go to number four. We've done the things to watch out for with Democratic politicians, and that is them doing nothing except for bemoaning the loss of a Republican. Please, Republicans, grab your party back. You know who's been really good at that is Lynn Cheney.
Liz
Cheney, whatever. Mitt Romney also, boy. Do they spit on him when they go into the caucus? Like, literally spit on him? Here is Joe Scarborough, former Republican congressman, part of that Newt Gingrich revolution. And Mika Brzezinski and some other dude. I don't care who he is. Jonathan Lemire or whatever. And this is when Nancy Pelosi says we need the Republicans to take back the Republican Party. She is playing to a myth so that she can have the respect of people like Joe Scarborough or Chuck Todd or whomever she perceives to be these journalists. Because and then they do it too. Here's Joe Scarborough. He is going to outline all of the radical, revanchist, retrograde, extremist, fundamentalist plans and not even plans, executed plans the Republicans have, and then go on to say, like, Democrats are really just not stepping up and compromising.
That would want to overturn Roe the way Alito wants to overturn Roe. So it is still Jonathan Lemire very much in play. And now you have, my God, Louisiana. Since this has happened, you got Louisiana now talking about throwing girls and young women in jail if they have abortions. They're now talking about a life beginning at fertilization. They're now talking about, I mean, these are characters out of like the Da Vinci Code. Like, this is getting, and oh, I don't know, Handmaid's Tale. This is getting really extreme. And let me just say, I know everybody didn't go to law school. I did. I wasn't a good student, so don't worry about it. But a quick reading of Roe and a quick reading of this opinion, you start to realize that the very constitutional foundation that Roe was built on, well, that's what Griswold was built on. Contraceptive rights for you. Yes, you. You, Middle America. Contraceptive rights built on the same 14th Amendment constitutional framework. Interracial marriage built on the same 14th Amendment constitutional framework. Marriage equality built on the same 14th Amendment constitutional framework. And then Alito says, oh, yes, we understand that, but don't worry. Trust us.
Oh, God.
Those don't involve issues of abortion. So this is a one-off. This is just because I don't like abortion. It just doesn't make sense for abortion. Well, that may be Alito's argument, right? But there's no constitutional foundation to that. There's no legal reasoning behind that. To say, oh, well, we know contraceptive rights and consensual sex, the right to have consensual sex, and the right to marriage equality is based on the same constitutional framework, but it doesn't involve abortion. So just trust us. Jonathan, that's where we are. And then you got the governor from Mississippi going, yeah, contraceptive rights may be next.
Yeah.
And so it's, this is getting crazy pretty quickly. My only question is, going back to Schumer, why don't you get a bipartisan vote?
This
is,
oh! Democrats
don't understand. They don't understand. So you can't get 100% of what you want. You can't get 80% of what you want. Maybe get 60% of you what you want so you can say we have a bipartisan bill, right? It's just like the Electoral Count Act, which desperately needs to be passed. Democratic leaders, no, we're not going to do it because we can't get the whole loaf. It's time these people wake up. Take the wins you can get. And if you got a bipartisan bill on abortion rights, you take it, even if it's 60% of what you want.
How do you... He was so close. Just a question to you, Sam. How do you compromise on a fundamental right? What's a 60% fundamental right?
Huh? I have no idea what this guy's talking about based upon compromising on a fundamental right or compromising anything. Like, I don't know. Like, what does a sick, what bill does Joe Scarborough think that can be bipartisan?
Get 60 votes. You need to get 60 votes.
60 votes because you need to overcome a filibuster. What bill, like, is it, you know what? We're going to do a bill right now where wives are not the chattel of their men. We have made a compromise with the Republicans. Wives, we are going to stop the Supreme Court dead in their tracks. Women do not belong to their men, their husbands. We've did it. Bipartisan solution. We took the half a loaf, which is that we, or you know, women get to go out without wearing a veil, let's say, in or you can be seen, Emma,
yeah,
with a man who is not your husband. Bipartisan bill. We did it. We did it. Took the win.
I feel so much better now.
Honestly, what the f- is that guy talking about?
Right now I'm looking at the list of Republican senators, the 50 of them. I'm trying to just think of, like, could they, in theory, even if it was a bill that was like, yeah, we will, you know, abortion will probably be outlawed, but we won't go after birth control in the end. We'll promise not to. Could you get three of them?
I think you could get three, maybe
five. Susan Collins.
Maybe five. I mean, honestly, like, we will say that abortion is legal within 24 hours of fertilization or something. I mean, yeah. Like, what is the 60%? What's 50%? What's getting, like, what bill would get 10%? Like, what does that even mean? It is psychotic. It is pathological. The idea that, like, there is some legislative fix to this at this point.
You can't compromise with fascists. You can't compromise with fascists. You have to defeat them. And that's what's like Pelosi doesn't understand. You can't.
But even if you could, like, what would it look like?
It doesn't look like anything.
It doesn't
exist.
But
the point is that you beat them and you force them to your side. When you're dealing with fundamentalists, they don't do half loaves. So it's apples and oranges. They're playing a game that the Republicans aren't even playing. They're like, let's play soccer, and the Republicans are over there playing baseball. It doesn't make any sense.
And even if you were doing this as, like, a political analyst who did not, who wanted to completely ignore the implications of all of this, which he does, you would say Republicans are in a great position here because they could go to Democrats and say, tell you what, we will all sign on. We've got 10 people who will sign on to a law that says abortion is legal at 10 weeks. Now, if Republicans did this, and Democrats voted against it, I mean, that's the wedge issue right there. But they will not do this.
Yeah.
You will not see 10 Republicans. If the Republicans, like if this analysis was to even be remotely valid and you were to completely ignore the implications of this, you would say this is a golden opportunity for Republicans to come out and say 10 weeks, federal ban on abortion after, you know, abortion's protected federally for 10 weeks, but they would never do this because they don't have to. So there's certainly nothing the Democrats are going to offer them that they would sign on to. Because if Republicans came out and said that 10 weeks, like, we have saved abortions in 26 states across the country. Now, of course,
there's no incentive for Republicans to do it.
It's just insane.
They don't really care. The women that they are representing are wealthy women who might have the means to get around this. And even so, they're conservative Christians, etc. Like, there is zero incentive for Republicans, particularly coming out of red states, to do any sort of compromise. They have to look pro-life, always. Even if they are, you know, in secret cocktail Republicans that Joe Scarborough can have a conversation with, and they're not as dogmatic as they seem on the national stage. It doesn't matter. There's no incentive for them to do it. So they're never going to do it. It's a zero-sum game.
And the problem
period.
Is the Republican and the Democratic lawmakers and the Democratic consultants who actually listen to Joe Scarborough and say, yeah, the Democrats should think about a way they get to 60% and they believe this stuff. And they believe it because that's what's going to keep them engaged more, right? Because these people are not going out and doing the activism on the streets. That's really the only solution at this point. All right. One more moment about this, where we're at this point. There was a story. This is, well, there's a lot of question as to who leaked this information. There's another leak from the Supreme Court. We've had multiple ones now. We had the leak of the brief, but we had someone leaking to the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago. They wrote an editorial on it saying that it was 5-4, that some of the five was waffling, that John Roberts, there's a story in the Washington Post this weekend. Also, another conservative leaker, and we know it, and I will characterize it in a moment. But here is Victoria Tonsing, these Republican law, you know, legal operatives, claiming that it's a left-wing person on the court, but then explaining exactly why it's a right-wing person on the court who leaked this.
You know, this is a crazy story. It's not really logical. It could be a conservative clerk, but the more likely story is that it was a liberal clerk, because I can just tell you, as a conservative, my mind doesn't even think that. I wouldn't ever think of violating the court's protocol on leaking information.
Nina Totenberg has stayed too long at the fair. That suggestion, she called it the leading theory. I don't know whose leading theory it is. Perhaps it's hers in her own little world. But what she's doing is she's blame shifting. The obvious felon here is a clerk for a liberal justice trying to create chaos and force the justices to change their position. It does show how small-minded the liberal clerks could be if they are in fact the source, because the one thing that is going to happen as a result of the leak is that not a single conservative justice is going to change his or her mind after this, because caving after this would be just the end of their career as a respected jurist.
But that's what John Roberts did when Obama badmouthed him during the Obamacare arguments. And we know it's true, because any lawyer reading the opinion can figure out and follow that it just stops the logic at the end. But secondly, we were with a justice that few days later, and they were furious at John Roberts for having changed his vote, because they were all thinking.
All right, stop, because Giovanna, whatever this guy's name is.
And looks these, like these, you were right,
these, these lunatics, like you were right. These lunatics, yeah. These lunatics have a very, very checkered past. They go and say that a liberal clerk did this to sow craziness. But all it did in releasing this brief, now we don't know that it's, we don't know who. All it did was harden the five who voted this way. And we know.
Made sure we avoid the Roberts problem that
we avoid the Roberts problem that happened during the ACA. And incidentally, in the run up to the ACA decision, there was another leak to the Wall Street Journal in 2012 along the same lines as the one that happened 2 weeks ago about this decision. And this in the Washington Post this weekend, a person close to the court's most conservative members. Let's just stop for a moment and think about the profile of a person who would be close to the court's most conservative members. Would it be a liberal clerk? Hey, hey guys, I know I'm, from the liberal clerk, but we can all leave that at work and just hang out and chill.
The West Wing music plays.
A person close to the court's most conservative members said Roberts told his fellow jurists in private conference in early December that he planned to uphold the state law and write an opinion that left Roe and Casey in place for now. In other words, 15 weeks is the new standard, not 24 weeks. But the other conservatives were more interested in an opinion that overturned the precedents, the person said. Conservative Wall Street Journal editorial page made similar points in a recent column that warned Roberts was trying to coax Kavanaugh and Barrett to join him. How did the Wall Street Journal find that out? Was it a left-wing member of the court was like, oh, I want to stop this dead in its tracks. I certainly don't want Roberts to convince Kavanaugh and Barrett to say.
So I'll go to my contact at the Wall Street Journal.
I can trust them, because I have such good relationships with all the people who work at, for Murdoch. There, we know from that Wall Street Journal op-ed that of the five, one or two were waffling. We know from these two right-wing idiot lawyer operatives trying to make the case that it was a left-wing person that this leak will harden those voters. They cannot change their mind on the court now, or they will get the Roberts treatment. And these people don't forget. Kavanaugh does not want to spend the next 30 years as a justice being the ire of all the people who would venerate him. That's it. That's his constituency. Those are the people who are going to be writing the hagiographies about him in the future years to come. And I'll tell you why this is important. Because there are very few tools at our disposal at this point in terms of dealing with this stuff coming down. There's obviously going to be, you know, mutual aid, and there's going to be networks set up to try and provide for women the practical and material things they need so they have some ability to determine their future. We're going to have to fight a federal ban at one point.
Yeah.
And the best way that we fight a federal ban is for all the suckiness involved in all of the Democrats, or some of the Democrats, or most of the Democrats, or whatever. They need to make sure that they hold at least the Senate. 2024 is going to be hard. But they need to hold the Senate. And maybe they pick up a seat or two in the Senate. Maybe they can convince a Collins, who's going to be up for re-election in 2024, maybe to vote to the filibuster just exclusively for this. I doubt it, but it's a hope. But the
Manchin
point is,
won't do it.
But the point is how do you generate as much activist furor over this as possible? How do you let people who don't pay attention to politics hear about this? And one of the ways is you tell them that it was rigged. And the person who leaked this, you take every one of those outcries by every conservative in the moment the leak came, when the majority is using these blatant politics to keep their justices in line, it exposes the failure of the institution, the fact that the institution is just a bunch of politicians in robes, and it will increase the outrage at this decision. And that's why this is really important about finding who that leaker is.
I hear you. I mean, it is interesting, too, how they kind of tell on themselves, right?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They start off by saying, I, my mind is a conservative. My mind would never go there. Right. Yeah, the conservatives would never...
Dirty tricks.
Use dirty tricks.
Kavanaugh leaked the Star Report. Right. He was working on the Star Report.
They would never, on the Supreme Court even, conservatives working on the Supreme Court, entertain overturning norms or, say, precedent or an election when it comes to Bush v. Gore or this most recent attempt in terms of conservative voters to overturn an election and many representatives and senators as well. They'd never consider that.
Well, we know for
they're
a fact
the ones that hold norms so dear.
We know for a fact from the Washington Post article that a person close to the court's most conservative members, who I think we can presume is a conservative.
Yeah.
That I found interesting because that's like someone at least felt comfortable being identified as a conservative, you know, source.
Well, they didn't say that they were a conservative.
Or
they said a close to the court's most conservative
easy
members.
Easy to connect the dots.
I mean,
there.
Who would that be? And who is aware of what Roberts told his fellow jurists in a private conference? Right? I mean, this is the way reporters talk. They negotiate with their source. What can I say? And they try and get as much to identify this person as possible. You know, you could have written this if you were Washington Post and you knew that this person was not a conservative. You'd say a person who is not necessarily a conservative, but close to the court's most conservative. I mean, we're being told. We're being told. And I promise you, if this guy's found, and you know it's a guy, if Alito's clerk is found out to have leaked this, or whoever, you know, whether it's Gorsuch's or
your victory
Thomas's,
lap will last for 400 hours.
No. This person will go away for 2 months and then we'll come back and we'll be making double what any, like you could combine all of our incomes, double it. And that's what that person's going to be making at the Heritage Foundation. They're going to have, they're going to be sitting, they'll have like a, they'll literally have like just a no-show job at the Heritage Foundation. And when they do show, it's they're going to be sitting in like one of the most plush chairs one can imagine, like a throne.
Yeah.
Riding a Segway through the halls.
And then ultimately, they'll be, you know, I don't know. Congratulations, you're a member of the Fifth Circuit.
You just don't understand the conservative mind. They'd never do that.
Folks, we've got a lot more to talk about, but we're going to head into the fun half of the program.
We spent the whole first hour on the abortion stuff. We had other things to get to, but...
Got more stuff to talk about.
I mean, it's pretty big.
This is a big deal.
So if you want the other news, you got to come to the fun half.
That's right. And we've got more. We've got more. We are 5 days away. Oh, we may have added... I don't know. We don't know yet, right? Okay. I can't talk about this. But in the Boston show, we may have another guest, not necessarily a national guest, but it's pretty exciting. And but we have activists from Extinction Rebellion. We have Natalie Scherr is going to be there. We have Ted Leo has got a band assembled that's going to play some of the best Majority Report tunes. We are out. I'm not going to confirm this yet. I'm going to try and be respectful about this. We are out to a conservative from Boston who has addressed our coming to Boston, and we are out to them, that person, for a live debate in Boston. So I can't confirm.
And we're not streaming it live. So if you want to check out any theoretical debate, if it does happen, you got to be there.
We should also say, then we have the other special guest. I don't know which one I'm more excited about, the potential for the debate or the special guest. Both are very exciting to me. Majority Live, folks. Check it out, Majority Live. Also, amquickie.com. Check it out. Daily news in your email box. Remember, if you need the members link, sign in at majority.fm. Look for today's post. Get the link. We got a bunch of requests for help with membership from folks who can't afford it. We will lock no one out for financial reasons. We will get to those requests probably over the weekend. So just bear with us. Give us a couple of days to catch up on it. A lot of people.
This weekend, you want to promise that with the live show?
I got to take Milo on a college tour, too, on Thursday. Well, it's soon, I promise. It'll be soon. And I should say we have well over 1,000 members who are not paying full price for a membership. Well over, maybe closer to 2. We will not lock anybody out for money. But if you are someone who does have the resources to support this show, now would be a very good time for you to join. And go and join the Majority Report at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, don't forget justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Just Coffee, a fair trade cooperative. Great folks out in Madison, Wisconsin. If I could spend my whole life just having Just Coffee Co-op and Sunset Lake Cebede, then I think I would be happy. Those two companies, I love those people. Matt, what's happening in the Matlekian media universe?
Yeah, Nick Boland, a writer from Colorado, returns to Left Reckoning tomorrow night. We're talking about there's a another union drive going on at Starbucks, this time in Denver. The voting, I think, is this afternoon. We talked to Nick about, he had an article in The Guardian about the tactics that Starbucks has, you know, the normal stuff of starting to hit employees with infractions and scheduling them a lot less because they're unionizing and that sort of stuff. And these are employees that are having to take stuff out of, like, the homeless offering bin because they're not making enough to pay rent and live in Denver and that sort of stuff. So it's a really interesting look, and hopefully there's another victory this afternoon for Starbucks. So that's tomorrow night. We talked to Nick. Patreon.com/LeftReckoning.
You know, Matt, did you ask him if he could find a solution that risks the imagination of a new kind of possibility?
I asked him, like, why don't the workers take 60% from what the management wants when they're asking for their union? And then he's like, well, actually, no, they need full collective bargaining rights. And it turns out that type of compromise with ownership doesn't work.
Hmm. That wouldn't have worked out well in the Holocaust, I can tell you that, Matt.
Compromise with the Nazis. Why didn't anyone try that?
It's too bad that Howard Schultz couldn't get, Elie Wiesel has passed, right? I mean, it's too bad they couldn't get him to come in and tell people not to unionize. National Labor Relations Board, found that they were illegal treatment of their workers up in Buffalo. It actually does make a difference who gets to appoint those things.
And these workers were inspired by the Buffalo victory. They immediately started this after seeing that. So hopefully this keeps catching on.
All right. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half.
3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now. But I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What? What is that going on?
It's nuts.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second. The Majority
Report. Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Matt.
Who?
What is up, everyone?
Nomi Key.
You did it. Let's go, Brandon.
Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false.
No, I'm sorry. Women.
Stop talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this,
Sip an egg?
Yes.
Hi, me? You're safe?
Yes.
Is this me?
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you?
No sound. Every single freaking day. What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
I'm going to go tell
you. Libertarians.
They're so stupid, though.
Common sense says, of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him!
So, what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge met.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say.
857-210-3501.
One half.
3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400. $1,900.
$3 trillion.
Sold. It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less of
it. But let me say this.
Poop.
You call it satire. Sam goes, satire.
On top of it all,
yeah.
My favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt. Hey, buddy, we see you.
All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, sundown guns out. I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled, folks.
I love it.
I do love that.
Look, gotta jump. You gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock, we're already late, and the guy's being a dick, so screw him.
sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.